Welcome to Employee to Lawyer, the employment law podcast presented by NELA Illinois, the podcast that discusses the policies, regulations, and laws that affect our workplaces, presented primarily from the perspective of employee or plaintiff side lawyers. We are your hosts, Amit Bindra and Max Barrett. We are members of the Board of Directors of NELA Illinois, the Illinois chapter of the National Employment Lawyers Association, a nonprofit collection of attorneys who empower workplace rights.
And welcome back to Employee to Lawyer, the employment law podcast presented by NELA Illinois. We are your hosts. I'm Max Barrick.
And I'm Amit Bindra.
Hi, Amit.
I know. Here this time, on time.
Welcome. We are speaking again today with a couple of old friends, Michael Reed, the founder of the law office of Michael Reed, and Jason Shimotaki, who is the president and managing partner of the Shimotaki Law Firm. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Hey, Max. Hey, Amit. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me.
We're good. So last time we had you guys on, we did a more practice-specific talk, talking about independent contractors from the small business consulting side, how to help employers steer clear of getting themselves into trouble and the like. This time we want to talk about a bit more about you guys and your career paths. Again, you can flip for it, fight for it, thumb war, digitally for it, pick who goes first. But how did you guys decide to go into your areas of law?
Michael does mine, I'll go first. Doing a little longer. So when I graduated, I ended up doing a lot more consumer bankruptcy work. And so I did that for quite some time. But I've always, during that time, I was still moonlighting, talking to businesses, and had a passion for small businesses and startups. A lot of my friends and I, we grew up in the dot-com era. I saw a bunch of people striking rich and kind of focused my practice on that stuff. And then when I went out on my own, I wanted to work. I followed that passion and started my firm about 5 years ago. So we continue to talk to small businesses and feed off their energy and help them through their problems and get to back on their feet.
And before I go to Michael, I wanted to ask, so you are an alumnus of a program that I wasn't part of it, but I know it and like it. You were with the Justice Entrepreneurs Project, weren't you?
Yeah, that's correct. The Justice Entrepreneur Project, which is it's a foundation. It's part of the Chicago, funded by the Chicago Bar Foundation. They helped me start my firm with guidance and free paper, which is always important for lawyers, and helped the first shaky year, which is always a scary time for any small business.
Yeah, I'll plug that organization and just say I was not a part of it myself, but I know folks other than Jason who've gone through it. It's a great incubator for people who feel like they can't get hired at more traditional law firms or just want to do things a bit different and need some support. And is great about giving regular folks, so to speak, access to justice. Figured since we had an alumnus, we might as well plug it. That said, Michael, let's turn to you. So how did you end up here?
Absolutely. So I also came through the Justice Entrepreneur Project, so we're both very familiar with that, with this incubator. Yeah, I know. You have two alumnus, the episode today. It's a great program, and it's really the reason why I have a practice today. When I graduated in 2016, I worked for a company for a little while and I wasn't necessarily happy with what I was doing. And I wanted more flexibility, I wanted more freedom, and I wanted to be able to work with people who I want to work with and who inspire me. I submitted an application to the incubator, I was accepted, and they helped me wind up my firm. And that's been the story so far. I've been pretty much solo my entire legal career, and I have been serving business owners pretty much since day one. And the reason why I wanted to work with business owners is because, like myself, they have a drive, they have a certain spirit to them that I don't think you can really match working for somebody, doing work that is at someone else's bidding. And I find that entrepreneurial spirit really inspiring. And like I said, it's close to home. It's what I'm doing. So it's a really natural fit for me to serve people who are also making things happen for themselves, who are also, you know, putting their neck out there day after day, trying to make a living and do what they love.
I think that's a nice segue. So you like working for yourself in that vein. What are some other things you like and maybe don't like as much about being on your own?
Okay, being on the hunt for clients is always a little stressful. You never know quite when the next person is going to drop you that email, give you a call with something that you really feel like you can help them with. Always being on the hunt, like you said, can be a little nerve-wracking. it's not always my favorite part. I really like signing people up, like making money. I like feeling like I'm helping people. Having a bunch of conversations that don't go anywhere is not fun. And sometimes you feel like you really made a connection with someone. They come to you with something that that you're well-versed in, that you feel like you can help them with, and then they end up either not returning your phone call after that initial contact, or they just tell you that they went with somebody else. And that's always hard, but I just tell myself, I'll get the next one. And really, it wasn't meant to be. You can't be entitled to anything in this line of work.
What about you, Jason?
I was going to say, Michael's hit on a common gripe for everybody. Clients are the best part and the worst part of every business, right? And retention is always a kind of a pressure point for everybody. But I like that thrill. Even the ones that don't sign up, it's the potential is there, and that's always addicting in a way. But I like feeding off the energy of especially these independent contractors we talk to sometimes, and new business owners in particular. They have a certain positivity and energy that's infectious. And so it's a joy to be able to talk to a variety of different peoples and from all walks of life who just happen to see your website and decide, I'm going to talk to this guy for a couple of months, well, you know, about this or that. So it's the best part is being able to interact with so many people. I think the tough part is once you get it, and then you got to balance out all these, the balance is always a thing, right? And I worked for a firm for a very long time, and it was before the concept of work-life balance existed. It was work-life, work balance. Interesting to have to navigate that, the new paradigm of working in as from the other side, from as a manager, as an employer, as a business owner. So the challenges that it presents are quite interesting on all ends. But yeah, it's a thrill.
I think that's the tough part for both of you, is that when you're your own boss, you're wearing 30 different hats. So how do you maintain a work-life balance as a business owner while also being a service provider?
I have a wife. She's the biggest hat. That helps making sure that I take the time off that I definitely need. But I think it's about the other concept is that keeping some principles tight. No matter what hat you're wearing, you're still trying to treat people with respect, trying to make sure that you're still trying to stick by the rules of the professional conduct and like just making sure that you stick by your values that not only does our industry require, but our firm requires. And I think that's been the way that we've been able to juggle those hats and to make sure that they're not forgetting things. But
yeah, I have to say my wife is a good foreman too. She's very good at telling me when to stop working, reminding me that after a certain point, I'm just not getting anything else done. I'm just reviewing the same clauses over and over again. Sometimes you just got to clip it and chip it. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough managing all these different roles, figuring out when you need to be marketing, when you need to be investing time in marketing, when you need to be investing time in accounting, when you need to be prioritizing client work and determining which client's work needs to be prioritized in order to accomplish everything you need to throughout the day. I think that these are all problems that every lawyer in every line of work, even the ones who are not working for themselves, have to deal with. But yeah, it can be extremely taxing wearing all these hats. Having all these hats on your head can be like a heavy burden, and it can be uncomfortable as well. But having people around you who help you stay grounded, I think, is probably the key. As Jason was saying, having a family, having loved ones support you and also can help rein you in from time to time. I think that's a huge key to my success as well as Jason's.
I think that's a nice transition to just advice you'd give folks other than those things you guys just talked about. You think about young lawyers, and this is one of Amit's favorite topics, is that law school teaches you nothing of substance that you will use as an attorney. It teaches you how to like learn about law and basically says good luck to you and kicks you out the door. So what advice would you give to young attorneys, whether somebody looking to go out on their own, maybe start working for somebody else, Jason, like yourself or anybody else?
Yeah, I think the one advice I could give is if you're interested in starting a business, read a couple books about it and understand that there's frankly, there's a lot of it sounds exciting, but there's a lot of formulaic stuff you got to think about. You got to think about how do you start, what's your business plan, and what is it that you really want to do, and things like that. Thinking it through, that's thinking it all the way to the end, thinking like a lawyer, like thinking it to every single, if not this, then this, if not that, then this, if not that, thinking it all the way through. And that's that, and really giving it a lot of thought, whatever direction you're going to go in. And really keeping that, get as informed as you can, and talk to as many people as you can. Talk to as many attorneys who are doing what you want to do, and then talk to a bunch of attorneys who aren't doing what you're doing, maybe the exact opposite, because that might be, you might find that's the best thing to do. Our job, any position of our job, we have to listen to the other side as well. So that's get as much of that as you can as well to make an informed decision. But
yeah, going off of what Jason just said, talking to people, I think, is so important. Even though you are going to be working on your own, you are going to be the chief, the head, the CEO of this business that you're starting, it doesn't mean that you have to do it in isolation, and you really can't and shouldn't do it entirely on your own. So I think mentorship and forming some friendly relationships, having some camaraderie within the industry is really important. Having people you can go to ask questions about where to find resources, what their experience has been with certain types of clients or certain types of situations, or just to bounce ideas off of. That's pivotal. That will really make the difference between you succeeding in this endeavor, striking out on your own, hanging out your own shingle, and you deciding that maybe this isn't for you, and maybe you should either find employment with a large firm or just find a different line of work entirely.
Yeah, and I think Michael brings up a good point of finding a network to be able to keep you from falling through the cracks. And nobody does it alone, I think is a very good point that Michael makes. Is that myself and Michael, we did that through the JP. Through the pandemic, we talked to each other a lot to keep each other grounded. I've had some mentors that kept some of my insights, let me bounce some ideas off of them during that time period as well. You always have to make your own, cultivate your own network of people. That's probably really good advice, Michael.
Yeah, that I think is why we're on this podcast together, honestly. It's just all those phone calls that we've had, even after JP ended, talking through things, bouncing ideas off of each other. Yeah, especially during the isolation of the pandemic. That was really important, man. Thanks for being there.
Oh, well, thank you.
Amit and I are smiling because I think my firm would not exist but for Amit giving us a lot of hours on the phone.
I don't know about that. But my thought is always pay it forward. I think it's just, if you help someone, that it'll come back. Karma works its way around things. But I think both of you are right. Max and I would talk about this even on the podcast, especially during the pandemic. Everyone was going through different things, and just having that kind of human interaction was necessary, even if it was behind the screen. So I think it's really valuable. Most of you have talked a lot about the value of personal networks. How did you all build your professional networks? Obviously, the JP was probably pretty helpful. But what else, what other recommendations or advice would you give to attorneys who want to build that aspect of their careers?
Yeah, the bar associations are always good for that. And taking a leadership position isn't a lot of hours work. It isn't a lot. It doesn't take up that much more time. The trade-off is on the other hand, you get to meet the judges, you get to personally interact with a lot of senior attorneys from all sorts of different firms. So I'd always recommend those. I know networking groups like BNI and the Chamber of Commerce's, local Chamber of Commerce's, are always great to meet a variety of different people. I know I've gotten business through them personally. And so those are some just off the cuff ones I can think of. But going to court used to be a really great way of doing it, but it's a little more difficult on Zoom, but I've still been able to develop relationship with counsel through the email exchanges and maybe just pushing it to the next level. Just, hey, do you want to get a cup of coffee after this case is over? Really enjoyed working with you, those kind of things. So just the little nudges is always, a little bid is always a good idea if you're looking for that.
Yeah, I would say that another avenue to go is to get on the board for some nonprofits. If there's a nonprofit that is doing something that you care about, that you're passionate about, that fits within your values, try to get on that board. There's probably going to be another lawyer on that board who you can meet with, hopefully start up a friendship or at least some sort of a professional relationship with. And this is true for legal aid societies as well. Like I'm on the associate board for Lawyers for the Creative Arts. There are other legal aid organizations out there as well. Getting on those boards really can help expand your professional network.
I think those are all really good advice. And also it's an opportunity, right? Those, a lot of the suggestions you guys have made are opportunities as well for folks to give back, right? It's, you get something out of it and you're helping an organization you care about when helping other attorneys. We've talked about lessons, advice you'd give yourselves. One of these cliche questions, if you could go back to when you graduated from law school, is there anything you would tell yourself, like a Marty McFly, or maybe that's a dated reference for some people now, some Back to the Future moment?
Well, they're rebooting it, so it'll come back around.
I'm going to be really depressed if people never know what that is. So it's, my wife's a teacher, says that they don't talk about, kids never watch The Wizard of Oz anymore, because at least the old one is scary to kids, which I get. And there are some kind of scary moments. It just, to me, it was a kid's movie. I guess that concept has changed.
Yeah. If I could go back, I would tell myself, don't think about think through it, but make a decision quicker on things. And everything has its time to end or to move forward. There's decision analysis paralysis is real. And you got to step out from that and just do it. A lot of businesses don't start when they should because people are still trying to suss everything out, and just got to know when you've got that idea. And if you got the idea and it's ready to go and you've done the research and you have it sitting in front of you and you know what the risks are, just do it.
Yeah, it's the modern equivalent of like Back to the Future, maybe everything everywhere all at once. I don't know. I actually didn't see it, but it seems like a popular kind of sci-fi kind of travel movie. Could be. There's probably a Marvel equivalent. Going off of what Jason said, I would probably just tell myself not to hesitate. I started working for a company. I started working for someone else out of law school because I was worried about my ability to handle all the different aspects of running a business myself and being responsible to no one else other than myself. And yeah, I think really what I needed was just a shove, just somebody to say, hey, you can do it. Don't worry about it. And it's going to be hard, but you'll be able to make it work. You've got it in you.
Well, you guys are veterans. What's coming? What is your shout out of the week? Something nice, positive, what have you, that you'd like to share with our audience? I'll go first while you guys think about it. I'll plug Amit and all his podcasting work and legal work. And I'll plug my family, my wife, the teacher who grinds every day, my 3-year-old daughter who dressed as Spider-Man at school today and is really into Spider-Man. Speaking of origin stories, definitely had no handing in that one. And my younger daughter, Sari, who has a tooth and is starting to crawl.
Well, that's awesome.
You say but now she's mobile. So it's both awesome and horrifying at the same time.
That's great from my perspective, because it's just going to be tougher for you. I'll do a shout out. But before I do that, so sometimes when I do runs, I'm a runner and I'll do 5Ks, but I'll dress up as Spider-Man. So the kids love it because they'll come up to you and be like, Spider-Man, and you want to take a picture. It's great. Yeah. And one of my friends will dress up as Iron Man. And we'll do this when it's not a themed run. So it'll just be like the middle of June and we're doing a 5K in costumes. I will say it's very hard to do this with a mask on.
Is it just like a Wednesday? You're just running downtown dressed as Spider-Man through the downtown area?
Usually like
area,
a Saturday morning, but yeah, Lincoln Park Zoo or something.
He's embellishing. It's like Wednesdays at noon.
No, Wednesdays at noon, I'm doing my Huel.
I forgot you eat powder.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to shout out. I'm going to shout out the company Huel. They do a great product. It's like a meal replacement. You get all your calories, almost no sugar, super efficient. It's great for business owners, attorneys on the run, all that type of stuff. Awesome product. Nice. And no, they're not an advertiser. I should reach out to them.
George Jetson over here eating meal replacements. What about you guys? Something people might actually be happy to hear about.
I'm still eating food. But I don't know. I've seen the ads, and yeah, you guys need to get them on the advertising side. I'm also a runner, but I will usually wear the Superman. So I'm gonna shout out. I'll shout out to DC on that one, and for the runners here are running in DC clothing rather than the Marvel.
Do you guys ever get stopped by like bystanders to help them get cats out of trees and stuff when you dress like this? I'm curious.
That's funny.
But I have, you know, sometimes like kids for folks in our firm will come into the office or whatever, and I'll show them photos of me dressed up as Spider-Man to be like, hey, I met a superhero. No, it'll work. Don't believe me. That's the closest I can come to.
My shout out goes to Chris Gian of Chris Gian Photography. He did my headshots this summer, and he did a fantastic job. He is a super talented guy, and I would recommend him to anybody who wants to just up their image, really wants to look professional, wants to look badass for potential clients and just in front of your colleagues. Chris Gian Photography. You can find him at chrisgiancreative.com.
Thank you to, oh God, before I forget, Michael and Jason, if folks want to find you to talk law with you, to work with you or ask you questions or just chat with you, how do they find you?
Yeah, Jason, I'm available at bankruptcychicagoland.com online. If you look us up on Google, you can usually click right through that. And there's a bunch of reviews and we do some posts on there too as well.
All right. And I'm at chireadlegal.com. So that's C-H-I, my last name, legal.com. And if you want to email me, it's just mreed@chireadlegal.com.
Jason and Michael, thanks so much for giving us a change of pace on the show, to see it from a different perspective, for sharing your stories with us, and for giving us time on an afternoon when you could have been with your families or doing literally anything else in the world. Thank you to everybody at home for listening. If you have not already, please subscribe and share.
Our podcast is intended to provide general overviews of employment law. The statements and opinions provided in this podcast are just that, the host's opinion. We are not your attorney. This podcast does not create an attorney-client relationship, and it's not intended to provide specific legal advice. For legal questions, please consult with an attorney.